We're in a series that we started last Sunday morning that's entitled Lifelines. What do you hold on to during difficult days and difficult times? We're taking the top five verses off of BibleGateway.com for the year 2011, the most researched verses. We're starting at five and we're working our way to the top. So last week we talked about Romans 8. 28, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Today, we're looking at number four, which is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and verses 5 and 6. And I've simply entitled the message, Which Way Should I Go? Which way should I go? Somebody said the little man on the outline looked like a young Ricky Ricardo. Maybe he does. I don't know. But anyhow, he's there for you to look at if you get bored with the rest of it. Okay, so let's stand together as we read from God's Word this morning. Scripture says, Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Let's pray. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the wonderful time we've had in worship. Great songs challenging us and encouraging us, and so for that we're grateful. I just pray now that as we turn to your written word, that your Holy Spirit would bless us and teach us, especially out of this verse. This is such a wonderful verse and passage scripture, and I pray that we might be able to leave here with a greater understanding of what this verse means to our lives. So we give you thanks for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. How smart are you? You ever thought about that? How smart are you? You're probably not as smart as you think you are. I mean, none of us are. But I'm not asking you what your IQ is. I'm not asking you how high you might have scored on a college entrance exam. Not asking you how high up you are in your corporation. Not even asking you how successful you are. I'm asking you this morning, how smart are you? Because there is a difference. Your education, no matter how great it might be, is limited. Your expertise in any field reaches its limits, no matter how skilled you might be in that area. Your financial resources, no matter how great or how small they might be, are both limited. So how smart are you? Anyone ever watch the program, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Hate that show. Very, very few people turn out to be smarter than a fifth grader, at least on the show. So how smart are you? Here's the real question. Are you smarter than the devil? Are you smarter than the devil? Because the devil's pretty smart. Would you agree with that? He's pretty clever. He's a lot quicker at deception than we realize or would like to admit. And so lining oneself up with him is crucial and can be deadly. It will be a fatal mistake that somebody makes. So where do you turn to make sure that your life is not suddenly blown out of the water by some satanic terrorist attack? Writer Proverbs has the answer. And he says to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. Four things this morning that I want to show you about this verse. I want you to notice that in this verse, there is a call. There is a call. Notice the call. And the call is simply this. There is a call to trust in the Lord with all your heart. So He issues us a call upon our lives to trust God with all of our heart. He's not asking us to trust the Lord with some of our heart, with most of our heart, but with all of our heart. Jesus said the same thing, if you remember, in Matthew 22. He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Matter of fact, he went so far to say, this is the first and greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. Too often we look at the Word of God as a book of suggestions, when in actuality, it is a book of commandments. And only those who keep His commandments, the Bible says, are the ones who truly love Him and will faithfully serve Him. So what is the writer of Proverbs saying here? It's really very simple. We've got to trust the Lord with all our hearts. Now notice, it's not a proposition that I'm asking you to trust. It's a person that I'm asking you to trust. It's not a formula that I'm asking you to trust. It's God Himself that I'm asking you to trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, why do we find it difficult to do that? Why is it so hard for a lot of people to trust the Lord with all of their heart? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it's hard to trust somebody you don't know. It's hard to trust somebody you don't know. Isn't that true? I mean, if a perfect stranger came up to you, you've never seen them before in your life, and they walked up to you and they said, hey, I need you to do me a favor. Now, you've never seen them before. I need you to do me a favor. Would you do something for me? And what's your first response going to be? Your first response is, who is this guy? And what is he wanting me to do? So there's no trust there because you don't know who that individual is. You don't know who that person is. It would more than likely take a lot of explaining for us to simply say, whatever you need, I'll do it. The reason is because you don't know them. The main reason you respond that way is because it's not because you're not kind. It's not because you're not a compassionate person. It's not because you don't have mercy on other people. You just don't know that person. And everything inside of you says, be careful. Be careful. But now, what if your wife or your husband or one of your children or your grandchildren came up to you and said, would you do something for me? Now, some of you would still say, I better be careful. But in reality, that'd be a different story. That would be a different story. Yet, you're willing to cooperate. You're willing to do whatever they ask of you because you do know them. And because you do love them and you want nothing but the best for them and you believe that they would not do anything that would put you in a bad situation. The problem many people have trusting God is that they treat Him more like a stranger than they do like somebody they know and respect. You can't trust somebody you don't know. You're not willing to yield your life. You're not willing to yield the leadership of your life over to somebody that you don't know. So to trust in the Lord with all your heart, you must have a relationship with Him, and you must learn to trust Him no matter what He asks you to do. Trust Him with all your heart. And you can only do that when you've given Him your heart. But that's the call. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Then there's the second thing in the passage, and that is a challenge. And it's a great challenge. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Do not rely on your own understanding. Remember how I just said a few minutes ago that our understanding is limited? Nobody knows it all. A few of you may think so, but you don't. Nobody knows it all. Well, what I said a few minutes ago still goes right now. Nobody knows it all. Hasn't changed over the last few minutes. Unfortunately, many people do believe that their understanding, their knowledge, their wisdom is great enough to be able to say that they don't need anybody's advice or anybody's help. They're leaning on their own understanding. Look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verses 21 and 22. I like this. Stupidity is fun to the one without much sense. But a person who has understanding forges straight ahead. Without advice, plans go wrong, but with many advisors, they succeed. I like the first part. Stupidity is fun to the one without much sense. Isn't that the truth? You ever met any stupid people? Most of them are having a great time being stupid. But they don't realize it. They don't understand it. They're leaning on their own understanding. You may say, well, why should I not lean on my own understanding? You might say, I'm a smart person. I've got common sense. I've got book sense. I've got street smart. I've got sense that I've gained through good and bad experiences that I have been through. I guess you could say I'm a pretty smart person. You know what you just did? You just gave yourself away. You just gave yourself away. You are thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. Some people think they can get away with anything. If you're an Alabama fan, you hate that Honey Badger at LSU doesn't have a place to play football anymore. But he thought he's smart enough to get away with something stupid that he'd already been caught up with one time. That's the way some people are. For any man or any woman who does not turn to Christ for wisdom and understanding really makes no sense at all. But I thought it through, you might say. I talked with my doctor, I talked with my banker, I talked with my psychiatrist, and there's nothing wrong with talking our needs out and getting advice from professionals. There's nothing wrong with that. But I do have to ask you this, did you talk to God first? Did you consult Him, or did you merely consult more people who, no matter how smart they are limited in their understanding as you are? Proverbs 14:12. Familiar. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. You ever said, but I thought that was the right thing to do. I thought I was doing the right thing. You ever said that? Usually when you say that, that means you did the wrong thing. And now you're having to come back and say, but I. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Listen, only God knows what you should do with your life. Only God knows how you should handle that situation here this morning that you're struggling with. He created you. He saved you. He has a plan for your life. So He knows what you should do. So if He knows what you should do, what should you do? You should ask Him for help. Book of James tells us the importance of doing just that in James chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. I like that. Any of you lacks wisdom? Well, we've already determined that none of us know everything, so that means that somewhere along the way we need a little wisdom. And the only place to turn for true wisdom is to turn to God. And if because we lack wisdom, we should ask God, and we have a promise here that He gives to all who ask Him. He gives it generously, and He gives it without criticizing. Aren't you glad that when you ask God for some advice and for some help, that He doesn't look at you and say, "Are you so dumb that you don't know what to do?" Aren't you glad He doesn't do that? Aren't you glad that He's not critical? That He's not critical of the advice that you ask Him for, but He's willing to give it to you. Don't lean on your own understanding, because if you do, you just might fall down. So there's a call and there's a challenge, and then there's a choice. It's found in verse 6, first part of it. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. God doesn't ask for a partial commitment. He asks for a total commitment. A complete commitment to Him, which acknowledges Him as Lord over every area of your life. Some of this book is not right and some of it wrong. It's all right. It's the Word of God. It's right. Whether you agree with it or not, it's the Word of God. And so, if I'm going to acknowledge Him in all my ways, then I have to know what He thinks about things. You have to acknowledge Him as the one who is right and who has the right to rule over your life. Basically, what you need to do is sign a blank check and give it to God, sign a contract at the bottom, and tell God to fill in the details at the top. That you have surrendered to Him totally and completely, and whatever it is that He wants you to do, you're willing to do it, because in all of your ways, you're going to acknowledge Him as the Lord over your life. The reason many people struggle is because they don't acknowledge the Lord in everything that they do. They have their own plans, they have their own ideas, they have their own agendas, and quite honestly, God doesn't fit into many people's plans. God is an afterthought. He is someone that you turn to when you have nowhere else to turn. And what you say to God is, what you should say to Him is, "God, I acknowledge You in my business life. I acknowledge You in my recreational life. I acknowledge You in my domestic life. I acknowledge You in my worship life. I acknowledge You in my leisure time. In all my ways, not some of my ways, but in all of my ways, I acknowledge You. You are first. I'll do what You say do." That's what it means to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. And Stephen Alford was a young man. He was raised in Africa, the son of missionary parents. He was a brilliant young man. And he decided that he wanted to pursue a course in engineering. And he went away to an engineering school, one of the finest schools in all the world. He was at the top of his class. He was the top student in his class. And so his plan was to become a successful engineer. That was his plan for his life. He then wanted to go back to Africa to just enjoy that time there, to have the nice things that money could buy and be able to help the missionaries and to work for God on the side. It seemed like a real good plan to him. He was leaning on his own understanding. It was one that he had worked up in his own mind, this plan, this plan for his life, and it seemed good. I mean, he had it all set. He was on the way. He was leaning on his own understanding. Well, his father, of course, was back in Africa, and Alford was many, many miles away in school. And his father got sick. Or he got sick, and he went to the doctor. He was in the bed, and the doctor came to his bedside and said, "Young man," to Stephen Alford, "young man, in 2 weeks you're going to be dead." His life wasn't the same all of a sudden. His life just caved in around him. Here he was, leaning on his own understanding, making his own plans. While he was on that deathbed, that sick bed, a letter came from his missionary dad. This is way before email and all of that stuff was delivered. And it took many months for the mail to arrive at Stephen Alford's location. So his dad had no way, when he mailed that letter, of anything that was taking place in his son's life at that moment. He didn't know the condition of his son and the condition of his son would be in when that letter arrived. But in that letter, Stephen Alford, on his deathbed, 2 weeks to live, his dad said to him these words that you may have heard and quoted so many times: "'Tis but one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." Well, God broke through to Stephen Alford. And he bowed his head and he prayed this prayer. And I want you to listen to the prayer that this young man, who thought he had his life figured out, laying on his deathbed, 2 weeks to live, he'd been told. He prayed three words, three phrases: "Anywhere, anytime, any cost, amen." Anywhere, anytime, any cost. Let me ask you something. Would you be willing to pray that prayer? Would you be willing to say today, "Lord, anywhere, anytime, any cost"? In case you don't know a whole lot about Stephen Alford, he didn't die in 2 weeks. He lived. He became one of the greatest preachers of the Word of God that's ever lived. Just a tremendous man of God, who had his life figured out because he was leaning on his own understanding. But yet, when it came right down to it, and God was able to get his attention, anywhere, anytime, any cost. But you might say, I'm a little afraid to pray a prayer like that. I'll tell you why you're afraid to pray a prayer like that, because you're not trusting God with all your heart. That's why you find it difficult to say, "God, anywhere, anytime, any cost." You're afraid of Him. And if you're afraid of Him, and it's because you don't love Him, you don't love Him because you don't know Him. If you don't know Him, it's because you haven't been spending time with Him. Can I challenge you with something? Don't be afraid of the will of God. The will of God is not something that you have to do. It's something that you get to do. And God will choose for you what you would choose for yourself if you had enough sense to choose it. You might say, "But I might wind up in Africa as a missionary if I pray that prayer." Well, if you did, it'd be because you want to go, because it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Don't slander the character of God by making it seem like the only choice you have is between doing the will of God on one hand or living a fulfilled life on the other. That's a slander to the character of God. You delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. But you have to make that choice to lean not on your own understanding. And then the fourth thing, there's counsel to be found here. Look at what it says. He shall direct thy paths. He'll tell you which way to go. He'll tell you the best way to do it. He'll tell you how to solve the problem that you have. God shows us daily the path that we should take. If you claim that He doesn't show you the path that you ought to take every day, then friend, I would just say to you, you're probably not paying attention. If you're in His Word, He will provide for you a lighted path. Psalmist put it this way in Psalm 119, 105, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Some do not believe that God speaks supernaturally to us, but He does. He's done it in the past, and He'll continue to do it in the present and the future. But I have to ask you this. Do you dominate your conversations with God? Are they more monologue-ish than they are dialogue-ish? That's preacher words there. In other words, instead of coming before the Lord and saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," do you have a tendency to say, "Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking"? Does He still speak? Yes. Acts 8:29, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake the chariot.'" He led an Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. Acts 13:2, "As they ministered to the Lord and they fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" Told them who He wanted to separate. God spoke to them. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 5, "Then my God put into my mind to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the people to be registered by genealogy." God gave him that idea. God told him what to do. Another way that He directs our paths is through providence. In the book of Revelation, He says, "I am He that openeth and no man shutteth. I am He that shutteth and no man openeth. Behold, I have set before you an open door." An open door. Someone has well said, "The door to the room of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition." And I believe that's true. It's never easy. It's never easy to do the right thing. It's difficult sometimes. Paul said there is an open door and there are many adversaries. Sure there are. And it'll be blood, sweat, and tears. But I'll tell you, when God opens a door, there's not a demon in hell that can shut it. Now listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying that we know God's way because we know God's Word. We know God's way by God's witness as He speaks to our hearts. We know God's way by God's wisdom as He gives it to us. We know God's way by God's work, His providence as He opens doors and closes doors and directs our paths. There is a divine direction for your life and for mine if we are smart enough to recognize it and yield our life to it, the reason that God created us and loved us enough to die for us. Which way should I go? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. There's a call. There's a challenge. There's a choice. And there's counsel that's available to us from God. How smart are you? Let's pray. God, help us this morning to yield our lives to you totally and completely. Thank you for making a way for us when there seemed to be no way. There are people here this morning, there are adults here, there's young people here who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And they're troubled about many things. And they've come to the realization today that the main thing they need in their life is you. So God, I pray that you might speak to them a clear word and that they might be smart enough to respond to that word for their life that they have received. To acknowledge the fact that they don't know everything. To acknowledge the fact that their understanding is limited and that they need to trust you. And that by trusting you, you'll direct their paths. So I pray for the salvation of souls today. I pray for that man or that woman who are here today who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray that they might pray a prayer to you, God, like this: Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that. I know that you died for me on a cross. I acknowledge that. I know that you love me. I acknowledge that. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I acknowledge that you said that you would. Please forgive me. Come into my life. Take complete control. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. Father, I pray that somebody prayed that prayer. And I pray they might not be ashamed to take a step out into the aisle of decision and come and say to one of us here at the front, I prayed that prayer. I need Jesus in my life more than anything else in my life. Lord, there are others here who perhaps are looking for a church home. You're leading and directing their paths. I pray that you might make that path straight today. They might not any longer lean on their own understanding, but they might look to you for spiritual guidance, and they will be obedient. And I pray for those who are born again, Christians, members of this church, but are having difficulty yielding their life to you, trusting you with all their heart. Difficulty getting away from leaning on their own understanding. God, I pray that you'd bless them, that they might just turn it all over to you today, anywhere, anytime, any cost. We give you thanks now for what you're about to do. Bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a moment. I wonder if there might be somebody here today and say, Preacher, I got the message. God spoke clearly to me. I know that there's something that I need to do in my life and with my life. And I'd just like for you to pray for me that I'll be obedient enough, smart enough to do what He's asking me to do. We're not going to come to you or embarrass you in any way. We wouldn't do that. I just want to pray for you. Just by the uplifted hand, you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me today." Would you do it? Just right up and right back down. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Just right up and right back down. Several people here today need the Lord's leadership in their lives. So pray for them, would you? Pray for them. Brother Dennis, sing one more verse. He's going to sing, you pray. Come on right now, would you? Why don't you let Him have His way this morning in your life? Let Him have total control. Well, thank you very much for coming today. If you're a guest, we're so happy that you chose this place to worship today. On your way out, in the foyer there is our welcome center. There'll be somebody there to greet you and answer questions for you. We've got a package of material that we've prepared for you that we hope you'll stop by and pick up. We're just glad you're here. We hope you'll come back and be with us again real soon. Remember tonight, we'll be back in our study in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 10. So if you want to read ahead, get ready, that'll be fine. So we'll look forward to spending that time together tonight. Also, if you were not in Sunday school, they sent sheets around about the lunch for the Cash family tomorrow. If you didn't sign up for that and you can prepare a dish for the luncheon for the family tomorrow, please contact Faye Foster about that sometime today so she'll know, okay? All right, Brother Dewey, come lead us in prayer, please, sir.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And I was going to do that. Join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your many blessings, and thank you for the birthday that Brother Charles is enjoying today. And I pray it might be a day that would be greatly enjoyed by he and his family. Just pray your blessings upon them. I thank you, Lord, that we're able to come and to worship. Most of all, I thank you for Jesus that died on the cross for our sins. And I pray, Lord, that we might depart from here with a renewed commitment to sharing your change in our hearts and in our lives, and it might be demonstrated by our actions and our words that others might desire to have a saving faith in you. Again, I pray for the needs that we've heard earlier. I pray your continued presence with the Cash family and your blessings upon them, and with Cheryl and her family as they go to minister there. Lord, I pray that you dismiss us with your love and your care, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.